Hello and welcome to International Media with me, Amanda Morrow. In this week's show, we speak to the organisers of last Sunday's anti-terror march through central London, who say the media ignored the event, which was attended by some 10,000 Muslims. Plus, a look at the Iranian newspaper that defied a national ban on publishing mentions of the country's reformist ex-president, Mohammad Khatami. London's annual Arba'in procession is described as the largest yearly Islamic event in Europe, and it's one of the most celebrated. Here, Shia Muslims gather by their thousands to mark the 40th day following the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, back in the 7th century. This year, organisers, the Husseini Islamic Trust UK, made the decision to use the traditionally peaceful family gathering to deliver a political message in the wake of attacks by the Islamic State Sunni extremists on Beirut and Paris. Waqar Haider, who runs the event with his father, said he was dismayed when not one single British mainstream media outlet chose to cover the march despite approaches to journalists. He blames stereotyping and what he calls the media's inability to recognise the vastness and diversity of the Muslim community.
I think people often want to see the bad side of life, and not perhaps when the majority come out and speak out against terrorism and against things which are happening in their religion, allegedly, people don't find that perhaps interesting enough. We hear a lot of people always in the media saying, why are the Muslims not coming out on the streets? Why are they not condemning the attacks which are happening in Paris or elsewhere in the world? But believe me, we came out last Sunday. We informed, we emailed, we telephoned the BBC, all the various news channels and newspapers, and nobody really responded or had any interest in covering the event, despite the fact we had up to about 10 to 12,000 people with hundreds of placards saying no to ISIS, no to terrorism, not in our name. Islam is a religion of peace. We are horrified that our community, especially us being the Shia community, we have been the biggest victims of ISIS in Iraq and Syria. And, you know, we deplore what's happening worldwide. But for some reason, the media at the time were not that interested in covering the event.
Another Londoner, Muhammad Ali Gokal, attends the Arba'in procession every year. He describes it as an extremely religious occasion that gives British Muslims the chance to gather in the same way their grandparents did in their native countries, Iraq, Pakistan and India, for example, by turning out en masse with placards that read, "Not in my name," and "Terror has no religion." Gokal says the wider Muslim community felt compelled to discredit suggestions that its people sympathised with attacks on the West. This was especially important, he adds, in the face of rising Islamophobia.
I think there's a sense amongst the Muslim community that there is a very sad narrative being portrayed by the media, which is to suggest that Muslims are either in bed with extremists who do terrible things and hijack this beautiful religion in their name, or alternatively are tacitly approving it or just silent on the matter. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. Muslims, over a number of weeks and months and even years, have condemned in the strongest senses what happened in Paris, what happened in Beirut, what happened in 2007 here in Britain, in London. You know, we're victims of terrorism too. In fact, this very nefarious ideology which breeds ISIS, actually the number one victims of that ideology are indeed Muslims, reasonable, rational, moderate Muslims. So I think there's a strong sense amongst the wider Muslim community that there just isn't room in the spectrum to portray peace-loving, law-abiding, respectful Muslims.
In light of Islamic attitudes in various countries around the world, how frustrating is it not to have received appropriate attention for this type of event?
It's terribly frustrating, Amanda. And I tell you what makes it even worse. It's the fact that Islamophobia is rising at an exponential rate. Official police statistics within London from the Metropolitan Police say that Islamophobia and Islamophobic incidents have risen by 70% in the last year alone. Now, those are just the official figures, and many do think those figures are artificially low. And one of the great causes, unfortunately, for Islamophobic hate rising is a very pernicious attitude portrayed by the media. Lord Justice Leveson, in the Leveson Inquiry into the Practice of the Media several years ago, pointed out a number of instances where the media within Britain have said some things which he felt were unbalanced or sensational. For example, whenever there's a story involving a Muslim, often the picture of a woman wearing a niqab, a burqa, or a hijab, the headscarf, will be put next to that story, regardless of whether or not it bears any relationship with the story. And such instances really exacerbate the problem. So yes, media coverage or lack of media coverage is a great frustration to us.
It was only after participants of Sunday's march used social media to express their anger at the mainstream media's snub that the story finally got some attention. Of course, instead of being a feel-good piece that could inspire social cohesion, this story, like so many others, was a negative one, something organiser Waqar Haider finds very disheartening.
When we're making the effort, it was a cold day, it's December, it's winter, it's near Christmas, people gave up their time. We had coaches from all over the country which came, from Scotland, from Wales, from Manchester, from Birmingham, from Leicester, from Nuneaton, from Newport. So many people came. We were all there in solidarity, peacefully walking down Park Lane, going towards Buckingham Palace, and simply saying, this is not in our name, we want this to stop.
Was it a difficult decision to decide to use this event as a platform to make a political statement?
It was. There was a lot of soul searching. We were concerned because this is traditionally a mourning event. We mourn for Imam Hussein, who was the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, and he himself was killed because he stood up against the caliphate. And ISIS are very similar. They are a caliphate, or a claim to be a caliphate, but they're nothing but evil. And a similar thing happened in the 7th century. So for us, we never ever mix politics with religion in terms of with our mourning. However, what's happened, especially in Paris and in Beirut, we thought we must be a bit more braver and actually come out and hold lots of placards and banners saying, you know, no to ISIS.
To see photos of the anti-ISIS march on Twitter, search for the handle ArbayinUK. Judicial authorities in Iran this week indicted the managing editor of prominent daily The Etelat, one of the country's oldest newspapers, after the paper ran a front-page editorial condemning a national reporting ban on comments and pictures of reformist ex-president Mohammad Khatami, who the judiciary now describes as a seditionist. As well as using Khatami's photo, Etelat editor Mahmoud Douai translated comments the former leader made in an interview with Lebanon's As-Safir newspaper. While media censorship is common in Iran, Jim Bormela, president of the International Federation of Journalists, says this ban and its defiance is unusual.
Firstly, because it is dealing with Khatami, who has been president, after all, for 8 years, and suddenly to be declared non-existent to such an extent that even the dissemination of his picture is considered a crime. That is, I think, something special. If you look at the context, what has been happening for so many years of censorship, having kind of a top president being censored in that way. But there is another aspect of it, is that the editor, Mahmoud Douai, is also a bit special because unlike many editors and journalists have been pushed around and put in prison, this one, I am told, was also kind of a big figure in the 1979 Islamic Revolution. So he's somebody, you know, within the club and very high up in the club, and he was moving in a circle even at the time of Ayatollah Khomeini, who was, after all, you know, the founder of the revolution in Iran. So he feels that he's protected in this kind of factional feuding that is taking place right now. And as I understand it, is not very clear what he's going to do, because as well as writing a very defiant kind of editorial, I am told by some of the colleagues who are closer to what's going on there that he signed up a pledge and there is some kind of, you know, weakness in his position.
While moves by the judiciary to enforce the ban on mentions of former President Khatami come ahead of important parliamentary elections in February. And that brings us to the end of this week's International Media with me, Amanda Morrow.